Good morning. Good morning. Thank you all for coming today. It's good to see so many people interested in the renewed SharePoint. We're gonna have a good time in the next 75 minutes. My name is Adam Harmetz. I've been working on SharePoint for 11 years. I run the product engineering team in charge of the intranet and developer platform, so team sites, publishing, biz apps. With me today is Mark, who is gonna introduce himself and then take us through a quick ask we have for you all in the audience today.
Yeah, my name is Mark Cashman, and I've actually been working with Adam for quite some time, not quite as long on SharePoint, but for the last 7 years, mostly focused on what we're doing in the cloud with SharePoint Online. And I also wear a second hat with Delve, some of which we'll show you here in the context of SharePoint Online and OneDrive. So we have a giveaway, and the giveaway we want to have is kind of a fun way to give it away that will both tie into you, somebody lucky out there, you have to be in the room. We'll get a giveaway, but also it's going to tie into what we're doing with the demo a little bit later on when Adam gets a little bit further into some of the ECM side of what we're going to show. But you can at mention us. You don't have to, but you definitely want to use the Club Contoso hashtag and just submit a random idea that you think would be a great reward to give away. It doesn't have to be what I'm holding. And then we're going to go through, and you're going to help us select who won based on just numbers of who submitted. So we hope a lot of people do, so we have high numbers, but we'll make sure that we whittle in. But if you like music, we got some wireless Beats and a second prize, which is a USB charger. So if you've got Twitter, use the hashtag Club Contoso, Contoso Club, and then just put your reward idea, whatever that might be. A pair of socks,
yep.
Maybe some glass frames that somebody gets, whatever your idea might be, big or small.
There we go. If you're not quite tired yet of a loyalty program for a consumer clothing company, you will be by the end of the week. So I wanted to spend just a couple minutes talking about what we wanted to get out of today. What is the purpose of this session? So if you could go ahead. Mm-hmm. In advance, there's two broad things I wanted to mention. Go ahead and click one more time. So what you'll see up here, this is a list of all the new innovation, all the new functionality that we have delivered since the last Ignite, and most of this actually is over this past summer. And so I put this up mainly for two reasons. One is that I think our event on May 4th, for those who watched it, was about vision. It was about setting where we wanted to go. We really want the theme of Ignite this year to be about delivery and about execution, about the fact that while what we talked about in May is, broadly speaking, especially in first release and coming to the cloud and eventually on-prem, available for you to try out, for you to give us feedback on, for you to actually use. And so we'll do a lot of demos today. The other reason I put this up is because I think we would fail if you walked out of here thinking the main takeaway was a list of 50 features. One of the reasons you come to Ignite is to see the forest through the trees, to try to see the big picture, how all this technology and features can map to the needs that you have and the problems that you're dealing with every day. And so what we really wanted to take heart as we thought about how to structure this talk was really taking this list of features, but talking about it in a way that frames it up in real problems you are dealing with every day, in real scenarios, and give you that, you know, that big picture thinking. So that's what we're trying to get done today. How we're going to do that is pretty simple. We'll go move forward to the agenda slide. And we are going to spend a little bit of time defining what intranet means. Some people think it only applies to publishing sites. We have a broad definition that applies to many things. And of course, everybody who's been involved in SharePoint for a while remembers the SharePoint Pi or the SharePoint split by user role. And we just wanted to get a common understanding of when we talk about the mobile intelligent intranet, what we mean. And then I'm incredibly excited to bring a customer up on stage to hear a customer in their own words talk about the reinvention and the move to the cloud for their intranet. And then we want to spend a real good chunk of time talking about what's new. What have we done recently? What have we delivered since May 4th? And we're going to do that entirely through demo. We have maybe a couple slides at the end for a couple things that didn't demo well, but mostly we're going to talk through all this through demo. And then we're going to have 15 minutes at the end where I'm going to talk about what's coming next. So what after what you've seen broadly, what's coming by the end of this year, what's coming in half of next year, and then what is top of mind for 2017 for us. And we'll do some wrap-up and Q&A. So that is enough wayfinding of the talk. Mark, why don't I let you take it over and talk about the intranet?
Thank you. We wanted to, in my frazzled brain, wanted to make sure Susan Hayes has joined us from Delta Airlines, who's going to come up and really describe where they're getting started, where they've been, where they're going, with what they have for their intranet. And certainly we will blend that in with where they share with what they share with us, and certainly where we're going. We hope that will be a nice marriage of what they're doing and what we hope they're going to be doing in the future as well, based on the mobile and intelligent intranet at Delta Airlines. So we wanted to just basically ground the session just to basically describe what do we mean by the mobile and intelligent intranet. It means a lot of things. Sometimes when you say the word intranet, people think of the company portal. When you say the intranet, you think of news and announcements, search, being able to discover, and whatnot. We want to make sure you ground in terms of what is SharePoint doing to support your mobile and intelligent intranet. We've made a lot of announcements since May. We've made a lot of new announcements as of yesterday. And certainly, we're going to ground you with showing you lots of demos and how that is from a scenario perspective to support your intranet. So if you think about everything we're doing from a mobile perspective, not only are we shipping the new SharePoint apps, we've had iOS in the store for a while, SharePoint app for iOS, and we're announcing here at the show SharePoint for Android and Windows Mobile that are in preview today. So we hope you go try those if you're not using the iOS app already. But that really gives us a sense of course, we're investing in the mobile space, but we're also designing the pages so they look great on any device, really on any browser, so that you, when you build out your pages, when you're working with your teams and team sites, or you're starting to leverage some of the new technology, you can guarantee that the information that we've put there, people will be able to access it when on the go with whatever device, and that it'll look great. When you look at what we're doing with team sites, we're really building off of the legacy and the value that's been there for years. And you can talk with Adam or anybody that's been on the team for years. The value that is in the team site is there. And what we're building on top of that is giving some new modern experiences so that you can work with your document libraries in a more efficient way. You can work with lists in a more powerful way in terms of business process. And the look and feel just looks nicer for when people are visiting, looking for information, looking for people. They'll find it in much more of a clear way. When you think about portals and publishing, this has been the center of gravity for SharePoint for a while. And we're doing some new things around how you build out news, how you share, and certainly some of the things we'll talk about at the tail end in directionally where we're going with publishing in this coming year. On the right-hand side, business applications, we're working with the Power Apps team and the Flow teams to really give you the ability to create forms that look great on mobile, connected to the data that you're building in the list, and also connect to external data sources from a process perspective. That pulls things into SharePoint and helps you with operations to move things forward. And that's really a play across all mobile devices. So again, mobile first and bringing that intranet and all that information at your fingertips. At the very bottom, we're going to spend a lot of time showing you a lot of these elements around Office 365 groups and how that brings people together to be able to access all of this content and to be able to work together more seamlessly as a group, even if it's in an unstructured group or a very structured group. The graph, the Microsoft graph, gives us the ability to take a curated approach, things that you want to program and pin and put specifically, and blend that with the machine learning on the back end that's going to highlight content that's relevant to the person that's logged into the service. So if I'm on a team site, I'll see things more relevant to me. If I log into a portal, I'll see things more relevant to me. And if you know our offering called Delve, that is all based on machine learning. It's an application that just shows you here is what you're working on, here are the people that you know, and here are what they're working on, here's what they're working on. And we're bringing that into the OneDrive and the SharePoint experiences to give you a more dynamic, personalized experience. And then everything that we do is certainly grounded in security and compliance, both at the data center level, at the product and the service level, but also just from how you can set your own policies in DLP, e-discovery, and a lot of the capabilities we give you to protect your content. And of course, we're doing our part on the service. Finally, there's a few talks around the Ignite conference all around hybrid. And what the team is doing around hybrid to ignite a lot of what you can do on-prem and connect it to the cloud, we think of that as bringing the cloud down to you. Some of them are pretty deep federation in terms of single sign-on and search. And some of the announcements that we're making around ECM and taxonomy going forward. But it really is a way for you to see value and get value in the cloud without thinking it's an overnight you have to move everything. We talk about migration and connection, and hybrid gives you a lot of opportunities there. So that's our framing of the mobile intelligent internet. You're going to see a lot of it in demo. But before we do that, if you take this as sort of a picture of where we're going, a lot of it in market, a lot of the things that Adam will talk about are coming in terms of what's next for the mobile intelligent internet. Well, this is where we'd like to introduce and bring up Susan on stage to share with us a little bit more around what Delta's doing. And she'll be very frank in her answers. And we hope that she'll share and give you a good insight into who and what is Delta, who you are. And certainly what Delta is doing with Office 365. So first, can you just share a little bit more of who you are, your role?
Sure, absolutely. My name is Susan Hayes. I'm with Delta Airlines. I sit in the corporate communication organization. My team and I are responsible for Delta's enterprise-wide intranet, which we call DeltaNet. Woohoo! No heckling. And we work very closely with our IT partners, some of who are here today. And we develop the requirements for our intranet site. We work with divisions, our flight operations, the flight attendant organization, reservation sales, to understand what they need the intranet to do. And then we put those requirements together. We work with IT to prioritize those requirements, and then they help with the solutioning part. They're actually responsible for the solutioning for all of those things.
So part of this is you're running your intranet obviously with the help of IT and decisions that you are wanting to do from a business perspective, and it's called DeltaNet. So can you tell us a little bit about DeltaNet, and maybe that bleeds into what we were wanting to talk about is, you know, why you chose DeltaNet and SharePoint Online?
Absolutely. DeltaNet as a platform was originally launched in 2004, and we recognized the need to have a portal for our employees, not just from the standpoint of taking them to other applications, but being able to present news and information, events to them, all in one place. And so DeltaNet was originally launched in 2004.
All right.
And
you know what version you were on in SharePoint early days or not yet? That was a plant, so not originally SharePoint. Now moving to SharePoint Online.
Yes, moving to SharePoint Online brought us a lot of things. First of all, it brought us the ability for our authors, which when we originally launched DeltaNet was 23 individuals who were responsible for content care and feeding. We now have over 500 authors who contribute content to DeltaNet. And in our previous scenario, those authors could only make updates on Delta equipment and or through VPN. SharePoint brought them the ability to be able to author on any device, mobile or otherwise. So that was a huge win for us from the authoring community standpoint. It also brought to us the mobile capability. I'm sure, as with all of you, you've seen tremendous growth in access through mobile, as we had as well. And our old platform really didn't offer us the opportunity to deliver the mobile experience in the way that we wanted to deliver it. So
you've got several hundred people that are creating the content. You've got, obviously, the staff that's sort of helping manage and get it up there. How many people does it actually serve? I know this...
So,
a higher number than the actual employees at your company.
Yes, we have over 80,000 employees at Delta that DeltaNet serves. In addition, there are retirees and our partners and vendors also have access to DeltaNet. So our entire user base is right around 260,000 users on DeltaNet, and that of course is worldwide, 24/7.
And so, feedback so far from that large of a group. How is DeltaNet holding up? How is it delivering what they want to do?
It is absolutely doing what we wanted it to do. Search, as you mentioned, is a huge aspect of DeltaNet for us. And we're a little unique in that we have these different work groups, and search is a great example. Searching for something like exit row seat. If you're in technical operations, maintaining our aircraft, you're looking for something very different than if you're in reservation sales on the phone with a customer, probably looking for an exit row seat. So SharePoint offered us the ability to differentiate similarly labeled information and deliver that to those users as they were searching for it.
And so that comes all the way down to their mobile experience.
Absolutely.
They're logged in, they're getting the content a lot more tailored to them.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we want to keep you climbing, and not to use your motto, but you know, having seen maybe just a little teaser of what we're going to be talking about today, and obviously where you are in your journey with DeltaNet, what do you see as what's coming next? What it is that you're interested, that you're already planning, or maybe now at the conference are hearing?
We were probably a little unusual in our implementation. We have SharePoint Online, we have SharePoint On-Prem project sites, But the SharePoint Online with the launch of DeltaNet is really our first foray into Office 365 and into SharePoint in the cloud, obviously. That took a bit to convince everyone that moving to the cloud was the right thing to do. But our IT organization, who is responsible for those, had the vision that really in order to enable everything that Office 365 brings to us, we had to be in the cloud. Mm-hmm. And so our next step is OneDrive for Business. I think that's probably coming up next month. Mm-hmm. And then I know Skype for Business is on tap as well. And then we have, we're moving to Exchange Online, I think probably toward the end of 2017. We have a lot of moving to do to accomplish that.
Excellent. Well, I'm thinking of Delta Airlines. If you hadn't moved to the cloud, you might be more of a bus line. But
or delivering information in hard copy.
Possibly. Well, thank you for sharing about what you're doing with DeltaNet. We certainly hope that we can be of help anytime in your journey.
All right. Thank
and hope you
so
get
much.
Some good ideas off of today.
Thank you.
So thank you, Susan. So one more slide and then lots of demo. Adam's going to take you through. I'll join in as well. But based on what you heard Susan say, you know, like a lot of our customers, just getting started, or they were already started and they're just now moving into Office 365 and seeing those benefits. If you kind of put your blinders on a little bit, a lot of what we talked about with DeltaNet is in the center, portals and publishing. But she was talking about team sites, certainly, that's still on-premises. Fit in here, of course, is OneDrive for Business as a large place where people put their content. And glad to hear that's where they're going next. I think they'll really appreciate the value that people get there for everybody to be able to then manage their documents and business processes on their own. But let's start to see a lot of this stuff come alive. No more slides, a lot less real talk marketing. We'll actually see the product come alive.
Great. Thank you, Mark. And thank you, Susan. It was great to sort of, I hope everybody has a shared understanding of what we mean by internet and mean by mobility and intelligence and core themes. We'll go through a 20 to 30 minute demo. We're basically in a demo until we have about 15 minutes left so we can cover the roadmap. Go through it in as much depth as we have time for. We'll focus mostly on a team site scenario. That is where a lot of our investments have been over the past year. You'll see how it applies to some of the other elements of the internet as well. And the narrative theme today is that we all work for a clothing company who is establishing a new loyalty program. CEO wanted to transform their relationship with customers by establishing this program of rewards for the most loyal employees. I like it because I think it sort of talks about the core productivity and engagement and a shared place you would need in order to work on something like that. I hope it resonates. I was actually on the plane ride over. The person next to me was literally working on a loyalty program. it was the strangest thing, one of those weird coincidences in life. So it's at least one data point that it should hopefully resonate with you all.
But we're not using any of their data, right?
No, hopefully not.
Just checking.
And I wanted to start on mobile, mainly because you'll see one of the themes for team sites this year is to really make it approachable, easy to use, get back to the basics of what people have been telling us they use team sites for years. And I think mobility really encourages that focus and encourages that sort of approachability. We can demonstrate the core value of OneDrive for Files and SharePoint for team sites only via a mobile device. I'll do this on the iOS today. We'll show Android just a little bit. And in some of the drill-in sessions, we'll also have the Windows Phone examples as well. I'll actually start with OneDrive. It is the most files is the most popular element of a team site. About 80% of team sites interacting with files, so it is the most popular app. And you'll see one of the key takeaways from this first part of the demo is that we've really transformed OneDrive to be an explorer for all your files. So you can see here would be my personal files that I would be that people associate with OneDrive already. But the Sites tab gives me access to all my SharePoint team site files and therefore all my group files, because as we've announced, every group gets a full team site. We also use the Microsoft Graph right here to show you the team sites that you interact with most often. Something you use every day, bubbles to the top, something you use every once in a while would be there for a little bit and then fade away. Needless to say, for all of our and our personal Microsoft tenants, Ignite 2016 planning group is at the very top right now. A couple weeks after the conference, that will naturally fade away without anybody taking any action. So it's really using the Microsoft Graph so the system learns you. If I click into one of these, you can start seeing what I mean by being a file explorer for all your files. It means that all the great functionality for exploring files in OneDrive is available for these sites. So for instance, I could force peek right into a particular folder right here. If I take a couple items, you can see I can take them offline. And I also have the rich sharing capabilities here. If I want to go ahead and share this, you can see I can invite people, or I could just get a link that I could then take to a mail that would copy it everywhere. We'll go ahead and cancel that. With Wi-Fi in here, sometimes it can take a little bit to do that. So that's OneDrive. I'll switch over to SharePoint now, and you'll see the same list of sites that we were just looking at. Let me get out of here. Sorry about that. All right. In the Sites tab, you'll see the same list of sites that we were looking at before. So a coordinated experience across the two. You could deep link between the two apps as well, which I'll show you in a second. And if I click into this loyalty program, you'll see basically the home page of a team site within the SharePoint mobile app. And we really lead with two core concepts here, news and activity. We went back to basics when we asked customers what they wanted out of a team site and the home of a team site. They said, hey, there's a lot of content in my team site, and I want to be able to make sense of what's new, and I also want to be able to spotlight particularly important pieces of content. And so we delivered on both. News right here, which is something brand new that we are delivering at this conference and coming, announcing at this conference and coming over the coming weeks in first release, really does allow me to spotlight particular pieces of content. You can see right here this roadshow deck that I think everybody in this loyalty program needs to know about, or I can write a whole page and author a trip report and post it right here. I think it's really a great way of being able to sort of find a couple pieces of interesting content that you need right now and you want to make available to the entire team. Of course, not everybody will spotlight news, or even those that do. There's a whole wealth of other activity that's going on the site. And that's where the Microsoft Graph powers this experience below here, where you can see things I've viewed before, as well as popular content as well. And so this is a way of keeping up to date with what's going on. You can have a customized homepage if you want. We'll show you how to customize the homepage later. But this default of spotlighting news and having activity from the Microsoft Graph, we think is a pretty powerful default out-of-the-box way to get the most out of a team site. And I think it's pretty steeped in what customers told us they really need out of a gateway or entry point to their site. But of course, if I need, I can click on that navigation element, the three bars right there, and it pulls out the entire navigation of my site. So if I go to the web, we'll see this later, has exact same navigation. All your existing sites automatically render with news and activity, and any existing navigation you've added to your team sites would appear right here as well. And so I can see, for instance, there's this team charter page. So this is demonstrating the new page authoring technology. We've completely redone what it's like to create and view pages in SharePoint, especially keeping in mind the need to have them look great on a mobile page. And team charter, not every team site will need a team charter page, but I think it's also a very common example of how you'd get how you'd use this new technology. You'd create a charter for your team and hook it up to the nav so anybody that's new to the team would be able to figure out what's going on. And oftentimes what you need to do, of course, is take existing pieces of content and put them together, be it for a charter or for your trip report or for your FAQ or anything like that. And as you can see, we've really optimized the new page experience for that, where I can embed PowerPoints, where I could click through and link off to preview or then PowerPoint as a mobile app. As you'd expect, you can do basic formatting of text. Here's an Office 365 video that's embedded right here, which is super easy to do, and a way to sort of embed interesting pieces of content. We also have a Power BI web part that we've added to this page too. So you can take something, that a report that might have been in the Power BI navigation somewhere and really put it in the path of usage right here, where you can zoom in, fully interact with the Power BI report, link off to go to Power BI if you need more details about it. And then here's another example what you might do on a team charter or any type of page, which is if people are familiar with a content by search web part, this is sort of the modern incarnation of that. It's a way of getting a dynamic feed of documents. So this team charter stays up to date. The charter's pretty much the same. You don't need to change, but there might be new important docs that are created, and they would appear here automatically. So this is a way of specifying a search query or using the Office Graph to show you interesting pieces of content to keep the page dynamic and relevant. It's a very classic example of what people use SharePoint for, basically pages. We already showed documents. And so the one other thing I want to move on to is lists. So if I go back and click on lists, you can see the couple lists associated with this site. Departmental context, another really classic example. Who's responsible in this team site for managing particular departments? So you can see right here, because this is Office 365, not only can I list the departments and list the contacts, but I have the full rich profile of the users as I add them to this particular list. So let's go look at you, Mark. If I click through on that, you'll see I'm taken to Mark's full 365 profile. And it's really just the way the system's coming together end-to-end, one of the reasons you would manage lists like this within a SharePoint site. You know, when we shipped the iOS app in June, we didn't have list editing, and that was one of the number one pieces of feedback we got in our ratings. And so it's one of the things we've implemented over the summer. So for instance, I can go ahead, click edit. I'll leave you, I guess, Mark, on the list. Let's replace Lincoln. Why don't we put Andy on this V team? Hit save, and we just updated a SharePoint list directly from the mobile app. Just one of many sort of feedback-based features that are going into the app. We ship an update to the app every 2 weeks on iOS, and that will be true on Windows and Android as well as we ship those into worldwide release. And so we really do look at every single rating. We look, if you need, you can actually shake your phone and to send feedback, as you can see right here. So we really try to listen to the feedback we're getting as we bring a wide swath of SharePoint into the mobile age. And that's just one tangible example of what we've done there. So that was the core elements of a team site. Just to recap, we looked at news and activity as a core concept to package a site together, and then we looked at pages, documents, and lists as the core elements of a team site, core elements what you'd need from a content-centric place for the team. I'll give a quick tour of the rest of the app. Here's the Sites tab again. I think we already talked about this. This is a list of sites used frequently powered by the graph. You can see here we actually tell you whether this site is part of a group. Going forward, almost all sites, team sites, I think will be powered and backed by an Office 365 group. Of course, there will be existing sites, there will be on-prem sites that we might reason in here. And so, you know, we give you a sign here. For instance, this last one down at the bottom is a video channel, not a group-connected site. If I go to following, you'll see a couple sites here that that are not connected to a group, so we don't show the group tag on them. And so we try to help you wayfind and figure out, okay, so this is the same. This is the team site associated with the group that I interact with in a bunch of other apps. If I go to people, you can see, as you'd expect, by the intranet in your pocket, the ability to discover people around your organization. So this is an automatically dynamically generated list of people you interact with already. Same one if you went to Delve. You would see the same list of people here. And it's a way of quickly getting back to the people you work with most often. I actually find I personally use the app by clicking on somebody's name and seeing what they work on. It's actually one of the quickest ways of getting back to content. You might not quite remember where it was stored, but you remember who you're working with on it. And we actually find, I know myself, and I've found a lot of other people use the app, use that as a really core scenario within the People app. Of course, it's also great for looking up office numbers. You can search for people, and you know the typical scenarios you'd expect out of a People tab in your intranet. And we'll continue to make improvements there. One other tab right here is links. This is a pretty basic feature, but it is a list of organizational resources. It's programmed by IT, it's programmed by the organization, and this is where you put your corporate portal, this is where you put your IT portal, this is where you put your HR portal. This is actually the same list of links that already has existed on the sites page, renamed SharePoint, in the web. And so, you know, by default, when you boot the app, even if IT has set nothing up, for this app in particular, it would inherit those default corporate portals and would appear right here. We have a list of links. If we really, there's obviously more we can do in this scenario, but I think it's already pretty powerful because many customers that talk to me have said, hey, we've invested in responsive portals. We know that the mobile trend has been coming and it's a website, so we've made our website responsive, but we're not really getting a lot of traffic to it. And there's two blockers. One was, on the phone, auth is hard. Who wants to be filling in usernames and password a bunch of times? And maybe it'll be cached in Safari, maybe not. And then two is discovery. So people have to remember the URLs, especially when they're on the go on the phone. This links tab solves both of those problems. It quickly gets access to discover the portals that exist, as well as, of course, caches login. You log into the app. We have single sign-on with OneDrive. We have single sign-on with Word, Excel, PowerPoint. So you log into one office, log into one app once, and it automatically percolates. And then all of a sudden, we've cached your login for your typical corporate portals as well. And so we expect to see a great increased adoption of portals all up, and especially visiting portals on mobile, just because of the sunshine and visibility we're giving to the portals through this links tab. So the last tab in the app is brand new. If you have the iOS app right now, you probably don't have this last news tab right there. It is going through final testing, and in the coming weeks, we hope to make it available on iOS. And so I'll go back. If you remember when we were in the Contoso loyalty program, every site now has some news items. These are the most important things going on for that site at that time. Consider it either Word docs or pages or whatnot. The news tab rolls up all of that news across all the sites you care about. So it's sites that you interact with, sites you're following, sites that peers of you have, that the graph thinks you interact with. And so it really gives you this force through the trees look of all the news that's going on within your organization. But it's high value content, right? This is not activity that may be interesting or a draft of a document. This is something that people in TeamSites have said, hey, this is news that is interesting to everybody. So we're just starting to use it ourselves as this is coming online a couple weeks before Ignite. And it's really, I'm super excited about it. I think it could really give light to a lot of content that's been created in TeamSites. And so to give you an aggregated view across all the sites you care about, really help employees at your organization understand what it means to be part of an intranet. And we'll expand this over time. So I would call this, I don't think you want me using this branding, but so it may not be branded this way. But I think right now this is news around your org, right? This is from your org, and it's news around you, from your peers, from your fellow team sites. We will clearly complement this as time goes by with news from your org. I think Jeff mentioned his session. We had our product review with Satya and his directs on Friday. So Amy Hood, our CFO, was in the room, and I told Amy in a couple quarters, when she releases the quarterly financial statements, typically every employee at the company gets a mail saying, here's how we did. I told her in a couple quarters, employees will be getting a mobile notification from the SharePoint mobile app, be able to go into this news tab and see the quarterly results right there as well. And so you'll see how I think we'll blend news from around your org and news from your org together into one place, but it has this branding of all being high-value content, content you probably want to drill into. So we're just getting started. Once again, we need a lot of feedback once this goes live in a couple weeks, but we really want to be able to drill and get a lot of feedback on news, and I think it'd be a huge addition to the SharePoint mobile and intelligent intranet.
And I think there will probably be a lot of trip reports that are written by the SharePoint team published as news right when we get back from Ignite.
Exactly. Stress test. Let's see. So that was... we showed documents, we showed pages, we showed lists, we gave a tour of the app all up. We talked about this news tab. So I think that's a pretty good tour of the mobile app on iOS. Do you want to take us on Android?
So you probably haven't yet seen, at least beyond what, let's see, what number are we? 8, I hope. There we go. So obviously at the conference here, we're also now showing Android and Windows Mobile. And we're going to save Windows Mobile for the actual SharePoint app session with Nate and Andy. But we wanted to give you a peek, sort of a similar quick tour of what Adam was just showing you. This is an Android phone launching the new SharePoint app. It's in preview as of the conference, so you can go and get it. It's in Google Play. Just type in SharePoint, download it, give it a try. But it has that same concepts around links to the sites that you follow and frequent, links around your organization and people. So if I go to one of the sites that you saw, this is what it looks like on Android. This is the loyalty program site. You'll see activities come here. If I pivot over, you would see files from the site, lists like Adam showed you, and of course, site navigation that gets you into pages, lists, other libraries, and subsites if you created them. If I go into that list, one thing that you maybe haven't yet seen is if I go into the rewards brainstorm, which hopefully some of you have tweeted at, just to give you a hint of the future. But this is a list just like Adam showed. I have the ability to see it. Of course, you'll have the ability to edit in the future as well. But if I hit the ellipses, you'll see what maybe isn't quite self-explanatory just yet, but these are actually a connection to Power Apps. So Power Apps have been deployed to this list and created in terms of the Contoso Club. And straight from the list, I can actually launch the Power App and get the view on this list through Power Apps, which gives me a mobile access. I can share this app. Obviously, I can access it from the list right there in the team site. And then once I'm in the app, and we'll show this a little bit more later from the contest that we're doing, you see here that I'm getting a little bit more context on what the list is about. There are some actions now that I can take where I can browse the ideas, which is effectively going into the list and looking at items. But I can also go in and submit an idea, and we'll save that for a little bit later. But essentially, you see that these forms are giving me that ability. So I'm going to go back and just show you one more item in the app. That Adam touched on, which was links. So here, if you launch a custom portal, this is a responsively built portal. This is how it's going to launch. It's going to launch in-app. And of course, based on the responsive design, you'll get a nice look and feel on how you designed it. So, Adam, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, there's a session by Nate and Andy a little bit later in the week that will really go in a lot of depth and detail about the mobile, a mobile strategy and mobile features coming. I will bubble up just a little bit and sort of talk about the strategy that was demonstrated right here. We will have apps across all three platforms, and you will see us choose to do some features on Android or Windows before iOS or in other order. Like, we really want to support all the platforms, and we won't really pick up a platform winner necessarily. And eventually, they will all sort of get all the features on all the platforms. That's our strategy. But we wanted to make sure, even though we shipped iOS first and some of the new stuff is there, we wanted to have an example of something that's more balanced across the platforms. And I think that'll continue to be the case. And we'll continue to have native apps across the platforms and really invest in each one. You know, the OneDrive team has certainly learned that the secret to really highly rated apps is really having a team that knows that platform, that can adopt the latest of that platform well. And so that's what we promised to you as a serious go-forward investment.
So that was a glimpse of what the SharePoint app for Android in preview looks like. Obviously, it's got a lot of the core features, some new, and of course, coming to the other platforms. The other area that you've seen us kind of demo through, sometimes you land in the OneDrive app. If you go to the group conversations from Site Navigations, you might end up in the Groups app. And of course, when you build a Power app, you're going to open up and go into Power app. So the thing that I think the team is doing really nicely is building a really nice in-app or app-to-app integration so that it takes you to the best experience for what you're trying to do. If you're trying to go from the files of the group to then read the group conversation that's hosted in Exchange, the experience in mobile is just one click, and it takes you right to the conversation from the app-to-app.
Yeah, we can show that really briefly.
All right, yeah, let's show that. I think it's one of those where when you try it for the first time, there's a little jar going app to app. But the reality is you're really being taken as direct as you can get to where you need to go.
Yeah, so if we're in the loyalty program, here I am in OneDrive. You see here's my files. If I click on the loyalty program, I can click that open site button right below the magnifying glass right there. That takes me to the SharePoint app. Directly into the SharePoint team site. I could either directly use the iOS back to OneDrive right there, or if I click out Nav and click on Documents, that'll take me back into OneDrive as well. And so we have that sort of core wayfinding. We'll see if, going off script a little bit, I believe I set up the Conversations app here. So if I go to Conversations, it opens Outlook Groups, opens a particular group.
And it doesn't just launch the app, it actually takes you right to the group conversation. It doesn't just open OneDrive, it actually takes you to that document library. So we're trying to get you as close as you can to where you're trying to go. But we realize across the apps, they all have their strengths. OneDrive is for managing your files. Groups is for managing group conversations. And, of course, SharePoint, a way to get to your sites and portals and, of course, your business applications.
Yeah, and we always love feedback on that. If you do have feedback on I think feedback on the app handoff has been a lot of what the feedback we have been getting. So shake your phone, send us the feedback. We're collecting. We're listening to that. And it's, of course, our job to make that app handoff incredibly quick and also support single sign-on across the apps, too, because the last thing you want to be able to do is in the middle of completing a task, have to go to a different app that you need to then sign in on as well. So that's part of our evolving strategy there, and you'll see us continue to make investments to make that as seamless as possible. You break the Android phone?
I did.
All right. You want to move over to the web?
Yeah. So let's move to, I think, 7.
No, I hit 8, but I'll go back to 7.
All right, so of course PowerPoint is still overtaking my machine. Give me 2 seconds. There we go. Okay, so we've been in the loyalty program environment. And this is really a set of files that are for the loyalty program group. And you can see that we're connected to the group, an Office 365 group. If you look at the very top, you've got the loyalty program site. If you click on it, you see the new group card, which right now is sort of just a helpful way to get to the different workloads for groups. And if you're in different group experiences, you want to be able to best get to whatever you want to do next. So you can see here we've got basic information right now. This will grow up and become a more powerful card that's going to get infused with the Microsoft Graph. And I'll show you what that means from a people card experience. But the team's been doing a lot of work just on the document library itself. So I'm in the group. I've clicked on documents. And as I go in, I can do a number of things with the documents. One of the things you might want to do is just highlight a piece of content front and center. And so if I go in here and I want to put the...
Can you zoom in? I think people are having a little trouble seeing.
Yeah, let's see.
Or just a power.
I think control. That is not my. Does that help a little?
A little bit.
Sorry. So, you know, if you click on a particular document, at the very top, you then can go and choose to pin it to top, which will bring it to the top of the team site, top of the document library. And the same action's available on the home page as well. So now you see I have a way to highlight that piece of content. If I want to continue doing things with this content, there's a lot that I can do now. I can go in and I can move it. If I need to then move it from this group to something that's more of a document center or a repository that's more like an archive longer term, this will actually physically move the document. And you can see I can choose where it's going to go. And then once I select it there, it'll actually move the document so it's no longer in this document library, and it'll put it to where it needs to go. There's another action that's very similar that I can do that's used to copy it, where if I needed to have multiple copies for whatever reason in two locations, I could do that as well.
Yeah, on that one too, we also support move and copy in OneDrive, especially, you know, it's going to be very common for files to start in OneDrive. That's the default save location for the Office apps. And then once they're done being personally worked on or ready to be in a more shared space, be able to manage the document lifecycle by moving or copying them into a team site. And sort of making that seamless, using that same list of common sites powered by the Microsoft Graph that you saw, that started with loyalty program, then outerware, that'll be in the move and copy dialog so you can make sure the content gets to the right place. And so there's a whole drill-in session on document libraries and documents in particular by Lincoln Damaris, where he's going to go into a bunch of details on that.
Yep.
But I think that's an important workflow that we're really trying to make great.
Another thing you can do is if you have content that lives outside of the document library, instead of moving it in, or some things can't be moved in because they're just links on the internet, we have a new feature called Links. And so you'll see here it'll pull up a recent list of all the content that I've been working on. That might be the easiest and quickest way of what I wanted to include here. And you can see I've got a list of everything. Or I can type in any address, and I'm just going to type in blogs.office.com to do a subtle reminder. Looks like my keyboard is kind of shut out on me. So I'm going to choose a document, and now that document that lives outside of this document library is now hosted here, and you can see it's denoted by a web icon pointing to a resource that's somewhere else in the intranet or anywhere else where there's a URL even on the internet. The other thing that we wanted to point out is up here is your standard menu, but what you can see is not all of these are things that we ship out of the box. If you see here DocuSign, it's actually a custom component where they've written, based on our SharePoint framework, a way to get their app or their experience into the document library. And this will be true not just for document libraries, but in other locations across SharePoint, so that you can have custom experiences. And there's a lot that we'll talk about in some of our other sessions around the SharePoint framework to give you a sense of how far you can go and what are the things that we're working on in the future.
Yeah, and we're definitely making serious investment there. I believe the DocuSign one actually needed no code change to work from the old to the new UX. If it's declarative, yeah, without getting into too much detail, because those are for the dev-centric sessions, but there's a set of extensibilities that have already existed that are more declarative, less completely custom code, that sort of link off to the third-party service, that will just work automatically in the new document library experience. And so that's, I think, example one of them. And of course, over time, the SharePoint framework will evolve to have a set of deeper customizations as well, as we've traditionally had.
Yep. So there's three more things that I want to share. A lot of times when you're working in a document library or in a team site or across your intranet, you're going to find people that you may not know a lot about. But you see them working. Maybe you notice that Jeff Tieper, is doing some interesting work. I've actually noticed Jeff doing a lot of interesting work. But now within the document library experience, and this is true also in OneDrive for Business, and of course anywhere you really see somebody's name or image, you'll be able to hover over them. And what you're seeing here is what we call the new people card. And truly, they're intelligent people cards. It's not just, how do I contact Jeff? That's helpful. That's maybe what I need to do. But I can actually now start to see more around who Jeff reports to. I think this might be backwards in the real life, but I appreciate that Alina got a little bit of an upgrade.
It is right there, yeah.
All right.
Congrats.
So you got to tell us in your next one-on-one with Jeff how is he doing. So this gives you obviously access to navigate the org chart. I can go back. And more importantly, obviously, if I see Jeff is doing some good work, I might want to learn about more of these documents. So right in the people card, we're pulling in the Microsoft Graph to show us first in context of this site, what else has Jeff produced. And so we can, of course, see that. We can navigate through it, open it. But I think also more interestingly, again, still in this pivot of the people card, is I can actually see what is he doing outside of this group across 365 that I have permissions to view. If I don't have permissions to view it, I'm not going to see it. If I have permissions to view it, maybe I don't have permissions to edit it, I can at least request access. So we will abide by all of the boundaries of permissions. The Microsoft Graph gives us a great set of information, but it doesn't break any of those permissions. So from here, though, if I want to commit to learn more about Jeff, I can always go to Jeff's full profile. And this is the new, from a people experiences perspective, since people are sort of at the center of all work that's being done, we want to put them front and center in collaboration. So here is a little peek at Jeff in the people card, and then I can commit to go learn all about Jeff's full profile, which shows me all of his recent documents. And if I really want to learn about Jeff around where he sits, how to contact him, or more importantly, maybe what he's up to. What are his projects? Alina, I don't think he's on the Contoso project anymore. But you'll see where you can see information about skills and expertise, hugely powerful for finding the right person at your fingertips, and we want to make that more of a discovery than going hunting and finding for it. So there's a lot of work that the teams are doing around profiles, of course, the people cards, and then sort of the last thing that I want to share before I hand it back to Adam is if I'm in the library, and I'll put the people card away here, and I want to grab a link to this document. And I want to post it into an email. I want to show you some of the new integration work that we've done with the Outlook team. So if I go in here and just copy this link, and this is a link that now makes this document accessible to anybody in the organization. It's called an endurable link. If I go into, and here is a thread with Jeff and Alina, this might be about that one-on-one and how Jeff is doing. I'm going to go reply all, and I'm just going to copy-paste that link in. Might seem like a pretty simple thing to do, but as I paste it in, you'll see some of the work that we've done between the teams where we actually pull the thumbnail, we pull the information about the PowerPoint, and then right there we have a nice-looking email, but of course it's just going to be a link that goes. So now that I've done that, the other experience, just so you see how those people experiences are showing up everywhere, I can hover over Jeff. We've already learned about Jeff. Let's put Alina on the spot a little bit. So here's Alina's contact card. In Outlook, they optimize for showing you contact information, of course, how to email that person. And then when you commit to learning a little bit more about them, it's easy to do. And on the right-hand side, they've built in what we call a people pane, which is really just a people card in an experience that makes sense for keeping you in your reading your email. And now I can learn more about Alina. I can see, of course, who she reports to. It looks like Dan. If you know Dan, is got Alina and Jeff under him. Basic contact information, but where it gets really interesting to navigate the graph through this people pane is now I can see who does Alina work with, and that's information we're getting from the Microsoft Graph. What groups does Alina belong to? Maybe I want to join one of those groups because I've liked the work that she's produced, and I want to learn more about it. And then specific to the email experience in this people experience, if we had exchanged emails in this particular demo tenant, we haven't exchanged any except for this email, so they're not showing. But if we had exchanged other files or other meetings that we belong to, let me go into Jeff and see if that lights up a little bit more. The other thing is, as you're reading an email, there might be five people on the email, two of people that you don't know. So right in context with what you're doing in the email, maybe you haven't yet replied, you want to learn a little bit more about who's on this thread before you actually reply. So you can easily navigate between Jeff, learn more about Jeff. Here are emails that I've recently exchanged with Jeff. Here are files that we've recently exchanged and, of course, meetings. If I don't know who CJ is, I can go and learn more about her. Who does she work for? Who is she working with? What groups does she belong to? And you get that set of in context of this mail before I reply. I can learn a lot about these people before I really commit to maybe what my answer is. So I lied because Adam reminded me of something that we, of course, wanted to show, which is if I go back to the document library and we go into the product lineup. So this is just a set of images that we have that we're running for the loyalty program. If I put it into tile view, it gets a little bit prettier. I can zoom in and you could see all these images once the thumbnails come through. But what actually gets more interesting is what the team is doing around actually viewing these. So if I go into these sandals, it'll actually open up a nice immersive experience, kind of like a light box, to be able to look at all these photos and navigate through them. And now that I'm open this up, I don't have to keep going back. I can actually just navigate through them, right to left, and get a full screen experience to actually see all the content right in line. When I'm done with it, I go away. If you think about sort of the old SharePoint approach, I would have hover over it or committed to going full screen, and really hard to navigate through all of them. It's a really nice experience now.
Yeah, one of the things we're announcing, it exists in OneDrive and then it'll come elsewhere, is we'll support over 20 different new types of files for these previews, including photos you see here, but Adobe Illustrator files, PDF, et cetera. And so really making sure DocLibs can handle not just documents, but all types of files as well.
All right, this is where, because my zooming capabilities are a little bit limited, you're going to have to just trust a little bit about what I say. But on the left-hand side is my C drive, not in the cloud technically, but of course it's syncing a lot from the cloud. And before really getting to this show, primary thing we were talking about was syncing OneDrive for Business. And that could be consumer as well, same sync client syncing both. And at the show here, we're talking about now this OneDrive next-gen sync client syncing team sites. And so from that loyalty program, on the right-hand side is the document library I've been showing you. On the left-hand side, if you look into my directory here, you'll see that I'm actually syncing the Contoso loyalty program site. So this is all the same files and folders. Again, squint and you trust me a little bit. But one little proof just to show that we're syncing here is if I go in and on Windows, I just go in and create a new asset. I'm going to create a new Word document. And it's going to be very simple. And we'll give Delta a plug.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, my keyboard just isn't working. So I'm just going to leave it as the default. So we're going to have to look for new Word document. Pretty exciting. And just to obviously, I can work on this locally. This is where I'm going to just open up my keyboard so I can type one thing that you can see. Yeah, something with my keyboard is just a little off. So the value that I'm trying to show here is if I create a new document, obviously online or offline, in the sync perspective, offline, this document is already synced. You'll just have to trust me. That's a checkbox over here. And if I go on the right-hand side and just click F5, which I'm going to have to do a little bit more manually so that you can see the refresh here on the site, we should see that new document now in the library. Help me if you see it.
Right there, up at the top.
Yep, right at the top.
Sorted by, and you can use the actions.
Yep, so about a minute ago. And so, of course, if I had created it through the web, if I had created it on my desktop, online, offline, it's keeping it everything in sync. And specifically, again, if you go back to your local folder, you can see here's my personal OneDrive, here's my OneDrive for Business, and now here are sites coming from SharePoint team sites. That would also apply to group files, which is based on the same technology, all being able to sync down through the OneDrive client.
Cool. Thank you, Mark. What do you guys think so far? Awesome. So we looked at mobile experiences. We looked at documents, of course, on mobile, but then detailed it on the web. We have to start cruising. So we will continue on and take a look at the site all up. So if I am in here, I quickly tell you where I am and how to get there. So here's the loyalty program site. This is the same site that you just saw from the SharePoint mobile app, the same site this documents were stored in right here in Documents. I can get to that a couple ways. If I go to the SharePoint home on the web, which is clicking SharePoint right here, and I click loyalty program, it takes me right back to the site. If I'm in the group, for instance, right here is the same group that this team site is associated with. I see this thing called site. I click on site. It takes me right back there, right? So there's various places to wayfind around and get you back to the site that you interact with. We tell you it's a public group, general purpose. The membership of the group is right there. The site header is supposed to both tell you information about the site but help you figure out that this is part of a larger system, namely the group. We lead with news and activity on the web as well. Of course, there's an edit button here. If I hit edit, I can put whatever I want on the homepage. I can put space kittens. I can say hello. Here, I can type whatever I want. But this news part, let me show you what it's like to add news. So I think I already explained why I really think news is awesome, especially as we aggregate it on mobile. But one of the really cool things is I think we've made page authoring a lot easier to do. But not only have we made it easier to do, we've made it easier for people to access it and get to it. You don't need to sort of figure out where the new page button is and then take the page and wire it up where you want in your site. Of course, you can still do that. We'll make that as easy as possible. But if you can simply go to your homepage of your site, if you have a piece of news, click Add, and you're immediately thrown in to create a new SharePoint authoring page. I forget the exact stats, but Alina was sharing it with me last week, where we just lighted this up in our Microsoft tenant, and I forget what multiple of 100% increase in page creation we saw because we've added nudes to the homepage of a site, because it's just really obvious how you can get started and get going compared to learning where the existing entry point is here to go add a page. So a scenario here, let's say we go on a trip report. I'm going to briefly cruise through a tour of the new page authoring canvas. There's a drill-in session by Andy and Dave that's going to go through a bunch of detail. But let's just say would go retail, conference, trip report. I won't even bother to fix my camel casing mistake. I'll add some text. I'll sort of build the page up, and then I'll pause a little bit to focus on this web part gallery and a couple other things. So I'm grabbing some text here that I can paste in. As you'd expect, there's just the right amount of control. We're open to feedback on this, but we wanted to be able to make the page look great on any device, which means that we need some control over size and exact pixel layout, but we give you ability to express your message. You can bold something. You can do basic headings and subheadings and pull quotes, bullets and numbers, those types of things. But we can also add a document right here. Super easy. In fact, somebody on Twitter, who I think was using SharePoint 2007 a couple days ago, just said, I can't figure out how from the same team site I could possibly put a PowerPoint document on my page. And we make that incredibly simple. You hit document. We come up with your most recently used documents. Of course, the PowerPoint you were working on is probably in your most recently used list because you were just working on it in PowerPoint. You click open, and then it's embedded right there. You already saw what it looks like in the mobile phone, but that's just a really easy way of getting content front and center on your pages. But now that I've done that, I'll pause a little bit and show this gallery of toolbox, because this is really something that we're investing a lot in, which is really an ability to not just put text, not just put images on the page, but have both content as well as business process embedded right into the page experience. So right here, I can grab an Office 365 video or a content embed or a Power BI web part or a Yammer feed. We have a whole remote team building more web parts. We have somebody on my team dedicated full time to go to every single team at Microsoft and say, hey, Sway, create the Sway web part. Hey, Planner, create the Planner web part. You'll see this get better all the time. And all these things will be responsive based on this new SharePoint framework. This particular example has something called PandaPoll, which was one of the winners of our Dev Kitchen. That's a third-party web part, not created by Microsoft. So this gallery of web parts is both by ISVs and vendors that you could purchase from. Your own dev teams could create the right parts that you could appear on this page, and we will continue to provide more and more examples of first-party parts as well. So one quick example is the Power BI web part. If I were to go to another tab, let's see, I think in my favorites I have a Power BI.
Are you saying Power BI is one of your favorites?
Power BI is one of my favorites.
I like it too.
There we go. So I copy the report, go back, super easy. Once again, I just paste in the link to the report, and all of I can see Power BI is embedded right in there. As I make change to the Power BI report, Power BI report, it's automatically reflected right here.
And just to remind you what you saw earlier is everything that then shows here great on the web sizes and scales appropriately for mobile, including a pinch and zoom capable Power BI web part.
There's so many things here that, yeah, go ahead, thank you. There's a lot more functionality here. I don't have the time to go over it all, but one quick thing to point out is that we auto-save. So as I've been doing this, there's no, as you click on a page that says there are unsaved changes in the IE window, we are auto-saving as you go. We'll add draft capability and version capability as time goes on. And if I hit publish, because this is a news item, I don't need to hook it up. I just hit publish. It brings me back to the home page. It actually selected an image from the PowerPoint document that was in the deck and decided that would be the best thing to show as the primary one there. And then it's just right there front and center and from the mobile app as well. I see there's a question. I'd love to take questions at the end. I really want to get through a bunch of stuff, but I will stay after and handle a bunch of stuff there. That's just a brief snippet, and we will be using this page authoring tech in news. If you wanted to create that team charter page and wire it up to your nav, as I'll tell you in a couple minutes, we're creating a publishing site that'll use it there. The blog technology already uses a version of this, and so it'll be wired up throughout your entire internet. We're really serious about making it awesome to create pages inspired by the consumer services many of us use, but with the real enterprise-grade web parts and content embedding that people expect. And because it's part of 365, it's all hooked up, all auth is handled automatically. So we got a cruise. So let us go to the last demo right here, which is really bringing it all together in the biz apps part of the modern internet. And so a scenario here might be, I think we already introed it, the loyalty team is coming together, and they're going to be brainstorming different ideas for rewards that people might want to be able to do. And that all set up? Great. And so briefly I'll show, we've redone, in addition to document libraries and pages, we've redone the list UX to look a lot like the rest of the site. So this is a modern SharePoint list that you all probably know and love. There are 10 million active lists in the service today, and so all of those lists automatically get the new UX. Of course, there's various fallback if people don't need that. But we really updated it with subtle things, kept the favorites like Quick Edit and Export to Excel, made it easy to resize columns, editing list items is super fluid and simple. And I think the scenario is pretty cool. The VT members could, of course, add new items to the list, but let's show Mark how we can leverage the power of the entire Contoso by creating a Power App that people can use to submit new items to the list.
So I've got us started right here where you saw me sort of earlier navigate to submitting an idea using the Power App against that same list. So I've got up here just a basic name of what I want to call it, a last call out if you want to submit your own ideas through Twitter using Contoso Club. But I'm going to go in here, add a photo. So I'm going to take it of the Power Pack. And then save that down. And then it's going to take the idea and the image and submit it on behalf of me who signed in, hopefully, and submit that idea. And so from my phone, I was able, maybe I just read a mail on my phone that suggested, hey, you've got an idea. If you have an idea, submit that. This is an internal process. Obviously, there's ways that we're going to show you where companies can actually engage with the public if they want to use other social media and methods like maybe Twitter, Contoso Club hashtag. And the idea is now submitted from this phone and being processed in the back end to that list, both the image, the idea, who sent it, when, of course, the basic metadata.
Yeah, I just want to make sure everybody understands that this app wasn't developed by Microsoft or anything. This is what Power Apps is, a no-code solution. It's something that can be developed in basically an afternoon using a visual designer. So here I am in the Power App Studio, that same app that we were just looking at, where I can see the SharePoint list item embedded right in there, where we show you can like up and like down a file. This is the screen we were just looking at. And you can see under data sources how it's connected to SharePoint. And you can make quick edits here, add text, do whatever you want to make a real quick change, hit save, and then it's broadcasted out, available on any device because it's cross-platform for the entire employee set. So it's a really great way, I think, where you took a SharePoint list scenario, you use it internally for the team, but then had a new rendering of it that was more appropriate for the entire organization. I think a super common scenario for Power Apps and no-code rapid application development
solutions. And one of my favorite things is that he just said, if you make a change to be able to push that out to people who are already using the app or for the next person that uses the app, it's automatically updated to them. Just think about how hard it's been maybe in the past with business applications being updated in users' hands, especially on their mobile device.
Yeah, and so that's great, but continuing the scenario a little bit, so if this is successful, a bunch of ideas are going to get submitted. And so enter Microsoft Flow, a way for being able to add process to your list items to be able to manage that. So it says 8:45 a.m., but that's Redmond time, so I assure you this is a live demo. In fact, the thing that was just submitted, you can see I've configured Flow to send me a quick mail, which is awesome, right? Like if I get a bunch of items in, I can add those basic processes. It gets even better because I can go down and start applying metadata to the new idea. So as a product owner, I can say, you know that mobile power pack? Either somebody already submitted it, it's a duplicate, or no, I think it's a great idea. And then to sort of show the scenario end to end, if I go back to this reward brainstorm list, I created a particular view of this list called feasibility groups that creates my triage of the idea. So if I go down to great ideas, you can see that mobile power pack is right there. So we use Flow to be able to manage the process through the list, Power App to be able to use the employees to generate suggestions, and then SharePoint to be able to reason over all the data, categorize it, and store it all together. So it's a great way that all this is coming together to help you connect people, process, and information all in one place. A super cool demo that I hope resonates. Even if you're not starting a loyalty program, you have something in your team site you can use to help automate repetitive processes. Which is great, and now with a one addition to that, is we will check the community suggestions. So if I want to add a new flow, it's super easy. By the way, I add a Power App, I create a Power App, then I'll automatically hook up all the wiring together. And if I want to create a flow, I could hit create flow, and you see this gallery of templates. And so all this is really cool, but one template that we hooked up right before we started this talk was this Twitter template too. So maybe Power Apps is great for getting suggestions from employees, but as you could expect, we looked for this Twitter hashtag, Contoso Club, and Flow is looking for anything tagged with that hashtag, and when it is, it's adding it to the SharePoint list. And so I can go ahead and take a look, I created this view called Community Suggestions that is going to show all the items submitted. So this list had three items in it at the start of the
all
talk.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for
playing
along.
Thank you, audience, playing along. So I will randomly scroll up, and the top list item is the one we're going to give our
all
first
right,
prize
so
to.
So we'll first give away the Power Pack, which was that recently submitted idea that was approved. So fortunately, we can now officially give this away. So first winner is?
All right. Scroll up randomly, and we'll say, uh-oh, this is like a slot machine. Oh, which one do you go?
We'll go with the half of it.
We'll go with the underwear item. So if I click on that.
Underwear.
Microsoft Underwear is the person with the Twitter handle Andrew Aya.
In the
right
room.
Right there, right there. There you go.
Hey,
congratulations.
All right.
All right, one more. I'll try to do a double scroll this time. One and two. Hopefully it doesn't go to the end of the list. Segway rides between building A and C. That is a good idea.
Well, there are left and right, so if you want to share with somebody in mono, you can come together and make stereo.
Twitter hashtag 212Shia. You had a great idea. Now's your chance for glory.
Say it one more time, the Twitter handle.
You see it right there, 212?
212Shia.
Shia. Right there? All right, congratulations.
Hey. Enjoy the music.
All right, so I know people did come here to figure out what's coming next, so we're going to go ahead and move along so I can talk briefly about roadmap. What is this, 7? So what you see here, you can wait to pull out your phones and take a screenshot of this until it fully builds. You're welcome to, but it's going to build for the next quarter and the quarter after, so might as well save everybody a little bit of time. I see I'm about 50% successful with that. That's okay. You can do a little. You can do a full bleed image. So this is what we've already shipped. Broadly speaking, to first release. Sometimes we're still coming to production. And I think we've demoed every single element on this list. And so I'll leave it for your reference. But it has been probably the busiest summer I've ever had at work. And I think most people on the team feel that that's true as well. So delivering on execution from what we promised in on May 4th. We've also mostly demoed everything what we think is coming in Q4. So I will make one point. On every single quarter, I have this feedback-driven updates to our existing properties. I wanted to briefly make a point here that I get a lot of feedback that says, okay, you've improved one thing, and now you're moving on to the next. Prove to me that you don't think you're done. Prove to me that this thing that we still think could be improved in two or three ways is going to get continued investment. So as we think about roadmap, one of the things that I really have institutionalized in my team, and I think we take to heart, is that just because we ship something in Q2 doesn't mean we're done with it. We need the feedback. We have an incredibly feedback-driven process where every single piece of new UX has the feedback button on the bottom, which takes you to user voice. We look at that all the time. And so we will, while the roadmap items tend to be the splashy new things that we maybe haven't updated before, we will do a bunch of work to continue to invest in document libraries, continue to invest in lists. One of the reasons we invested in this technology is that we can update it incredibly fast in the service through our new decoupling of the front end and the back end. And so we're going to take advantage of that. The other things, team news, which we talked about broadly, will be coming before December. Intelligent people cards that Mark showed.
I report to Dan, so sometimes
we'll
be
there. We do plan on making the Android and Windows, which are currently at a beta and Windows Insider, the apps, available worldwide for production before the end of the year. The next-gen sync of team sites that Mark demoed also is in preview at this conference, but will be worldwide available before the end of the year. I didn't have a chance to show simple, fast site creation. It'll be showed in definitely Jeremy Masner's team site overview. But it's a really new, fresh way of creating team sites that connects them with groups. So when you create a team site, you get a group. That'll be shipping for the end of the year. And then our SharePoint framework, our developer investments at the UX layer, is in preview right now, getting a lot of great feedback. And we'll make that worldwide before the end of the year.
All right, the next big click.
So now the slide is fully built. So now, there we go. There's all the cameras. Wow, that's a lot of cameras.
So this is what Beyonce felt like the other night.
Yeah. You also have you have all these decks, by the way. It's publicly posted, but I love it. I'm trying to get to 1,000 Twitter followers for the end of the year. So feel free to add, my handle there too. Once again, so this is H1. So many of it's early in the half of the year. So in other words, between January and June of 2017. We will make more updates. We will do more web parts. I mentioned a bunch that we're working on. We will continue to do that. I think there'll be maybe a couple before the end of the year, but you really see the flywheel of web parts coming early next year. If 2016 was about team sites, 2017 will be about continuing team sites, but really making sure that we have awesome publishing sites. And so I have a drill inside where I'll talk briefly a little more about that. But that and our first release of publishing sites will be in the first half of next year. We will do more Flow and Power Apps integration. The awesome things we're working on, we're making Flow work on document libraries. And we're really making Power Apps embeddable into SharePoint. So you saw a brief thing about an Android where you could link off to it. But imagine on the web, you could replace the disk form, you could replace the edit form, you could replace a list view with a Power App. Now you're starting to talk about some of the traditional scenarios InfoPath has handled in the past, but being done in a modern mobile way. And so that's something we're actively working on, and we think we can get milestones of that done in the first half of next year. There's a set of dev investments that I'll briefly touch on. We will be improving add-ins. We'll be putting the responsive nature of add-ins as well as the auth nature of that. We talked briefly about that DocuSign integration that you saw in the modern library. We have more work to do to have more types of customizations there. And then we really are looking at performance optimizations to existing publishing sites, those that use ASP.NET, as well as any additions for people building on top of the SharePoint framework. And so there's a bunch of drill-in sessions on the dev plat that go into that in more detail. So there's a drill-in session on publishing sites, so I'll briefly touch on it here. But to show a pretty picture for a second, we're really serious about this. We're going to use the page authoring tech that I demoed, that you saw on a team site, but allow you to create a brochure or a communication site or a marketing guide, really focused on when a few of you have to communicate to many employees. It's going to be our focus on mobility, focus on really allowing no web dev needed. Of course, we'll have some branding elements as time goes by, and it can get better when a web dev is involved, but really allowing any IW in the organization, anybody that's comfortable creating a team site for collaboration, should be able to create a broadcast publishing site, and you'll see it be a peer in the gallery as you create a site. Today, you create a team site. Tomorrow, you say, do you want to create a team site or a publishing site? Of course, they share 90% of the code, and we all know the scenarios morph together, which is why we're thinking about it holistically. But like I said, we'll continue to invest in team sites, but I think standing up on stage at Ignite next year, it'll really be the publishing space that we've made huge strides forward in. So, great, we have about 5 minutes left, so that works. I'm going to tell you a couple top of mind for 2017. So this is, frankly, being a little more transparent than we generally are about potential investment areas in 2017. I share this because we really do need feedback about all these areas. So if you're passionate about any of the areas that we're talking about investing in here, make sure to hit me up on Twitter. Find any of us that are wearing these little SharePoint lapel pins. That means we work on the product team. Talk to us about these scenarios. We want to hear. These are not feature commitments so much as buckets of investments we're thinking of, just so you can also sort of figure out roadmaps and how well it's mapping. We talked about this a little bit, this notion of corporate news. I said our CFO will be sending mobile notifications to the SharePoint app combined with investments in team news. Jeff called it one of the most exciting features he's seen in a while from SharePoint, and so we're really going to put that together end to end, both bottoms up through the team and top down. SharePoint always works best when there's a hero in the organization that is getting the most out of it. We've made sure team sites don't require that, but we really want to do more and more, especially with Power Apps and Flow, to make sure that when there is a hero in the organization that wants to get the most out of the team site, we really champion him or her and make sure that they have the tools they need to really get the most out of the site, things like analytics and activity, things like being able to configure multiple document libraries. And then we are looking seriously at templating metadata, typical content types, and ECM scenarios. I think most likely you'll see us invest in site templating combined with the new classification system that we're introducing for sites. First is a really classic ECM scenario where you have types of sites, each with certain policies and forms and behaviors. And so that'll be an investment area for us. Yammer integration. So I think Yammer has had a wonderful year in terms of monthly active user growth. Now that they're connected to 365 groups and we're fully connected to 365 groups, you've seen a Yammer web part, but we're just getting started with the ability to embed Yammer in. And I especially think as we invest in publishing as well, I think many of you have commented to me that publishing lends itself really well to Yammer for community of interest and publishing site about that community of interest. We're really trying to wire that up and wire that together. So that's something we're actively talking between teams right now on. Branding across web and mobile. Mobile is really where it gets interesting. Taking a look at what we can do to have simple, lightweight branding across all the properties, especially as there's multiple form factors. And now the slide is fully built, so feel free to go ahead and take your photos. If you haven't attended this conference and got from Satya the huge investment in analytics and intelligence, you were probably partying too hard, because that is something we're actively looking at in terms of across all the properties to be able to really do that. Great. We have a minute and 10 seconds left. I think Dante has reserved a ring in hell for a speaker who doesn't get people out to lunch on time. So we will wrap up really quick. And we will then take questions afterwards, probably not at the microphones, but we're happy to stay and take questions. But the one thing we do need to do is some wayfinding around the rest of the
Yeah, so if you think about everything you heard here, there's a double-click session that will go into much more detail, deeper demos, and, of course, subject matter experts that can take you really deep with your questions. So what happened?
Let's keep going.
Okay. So as this builds out, you'll see, based on all that we covered, really everything that we covered, there's a session that goes into more detail. So some of these, of course, have been competing with us. Some of them are in the future today, and some of them are throughout the week. But there's a lot of great sessions. Hopefully you can pick one that you like that you heard about here and you want to go deeper on. Again, great content speakers, great content that you'll be able to get both at the session or on demand. And we hope you really see that there's a breadth of learning about the mobile and intelligent internet. I want to also thank Susan, certainly, for sharing their story, for being here and coming up on stage. I'm really excited to see what Delta is doing with their intranet, and, of course, excited to hear today what they're doing next, which we're pleased that we can support them.
All right, thank you,
Adam, for sharing everything that your team's doing. And, of course, on behalf of Microsoft and the SharePoint team, thank you for joining us.
All right, thank you all.